Hey guys, this is Don Airey from Deep Purple, and you are listening to the Deep Purple podcast. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to the Deep Purple podcast, a fan podcast about one of the most legendary bands of all time, Deep Purple. We take a look at the music, history, and people behind the band Deep Purple. And beyond.
Yeah, I guess just getting right into it. If we're getting right into it, the Deep Purple, the new single just released with Simon McBride on guitar from the new album, which has been confirmed to be pronounced equals one, not equal to one, or what. There's a few different people debating what it was going to be called, but I've heard it's pronounced equals one.
I think it's more about the little emoji face it makes anyway.
Yeah, right, exactly. The little weird lopsided smile face. So we are joined, as we always are, by my esteemed co-host, John Mottola.
Hey-o.
Did you have your state facts at the ready, or are you going to save that for just regular episodes?
Hey,
you should do a Puerto Rico one because it's a bonus episode.
Yeah, Guam. U.S. outlying islands.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't have one.
Or in D.C. You could do D.C. too. It's not a state.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, you got lots of options there. But, well, while you look that up, we're also joined this week by...
All right, no pressure. All right.
By Rich Shaler, our old friend and travel companion. Thanks for joining us, Rich.
Uga chaka.
And the one, the only, Scott Haskin.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And Scott, I just got finished recording an episode where I opened your package that came in just today. So thank you very much.
Oh, I got there already. Oh, you're very welcome.
Yep, I had my drink on it through the episode. So you'll hear that episode in, I guess, next week because we're a little behind. But yeah, so... It was a little confusing. They said, oh, at midnight, we're going to drop this song. But I guess that meant midnight. I was also confused. I didn't know if it meant midnight going into the 30th or the night of the 30th. But apparently they meant April 30th at midnight, no matter where you are. So we're doing a midnight episode. It's midnight. We're all tired because it's so late. And we're going to, so groggy.
Yeah, we didn't do anything illegal.
Well, we didn't do anything necessarily illegal, but we may have misrepresented where we are from. So basically, so I used a VPN to pretend I'm from Australia.
Yeah, honey, put some shrimp on the body.
Yes. Actually, no. Yeah, we're coming to you live from Brisbane on this episode. It was very difficult getting the song without actually listening to it. So I did hear the first like half a second of the song four or five times as I was preparing it to be ready so that everyone could listen to it. So
that's cool. So they do the sound effect thing like they did on the first couple albums? They can hear the dog barking.
Yes, it's yeah. They did the sound effect thing with the dog.
Devil Dog, the Hound of Hell, Tuesday at 9, 8 Central and Mountain, right after the paper chase.
Yes. So the dog.
That's not a VPN. This is a VPN.
Yeah. That's not a barking dog. So I will say from the roughly half second I heard. I was actually very, very impressed. I know it's hard to believe, but I was like, whoa. It was hard to limit myself to listen to that half second. So I'm excited.
Let's do it one half second at a time.
Yeah. Well, what we could do is, this is obviously just going to be a short little bonus episode. We could listen to the whole song and comment freely as we need to. And if we feel like we want to, we could go back after that and do a stop and start thing and just kind of listen to bits and pieces. Whatever you guys want to do. It's the world is our oyster.
I'd probably be pretty quiet the first time through because I just like to hear it. And then, then we could go back through it.
We could have our real reactions. We're like, whoa.
Exactly.
I don't see the point if Nate can already name that note in one or name that tune in one note.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we? What's the game?
I know. I can do that, but I couldn't name it any past like the 1 second mark. I wouldn't be able to tell you what I was listening.
I actually don't even know the name of the track. Which one was coming up first?
The track is called "Portable Door."
Okay.
Which is an odd name for a like portable John.
I know what a portable stage is, but I'm not sure what a portable door is.
I know what a portable John is. They're all called like the companies that haul them away are called like Royal Flush and stuff like that.
Jiffy John.
Jiffy. all right. So should we, is this going to be too loud? Well, I guess we'll find out.
It's Deep Purple. There's no too loud.
Yeah.
Wait, do we have a state fact?
Do you have a
district
outline,
of fact?
A district fact, or
Scott is just like, hey, eyes on the prize here. What's the fact?
He's like, the only reason I agreed to sign on is because I wanted to learn something.
Well, he was looking so intently at his screen, I thought he must be looking up something.
All right, well, I got one. Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that it?
So. Yeah, that's the fact. Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So Puerto Rico uses both the metric and imperial systems for measurements.
Ah, okay.
Now that's not too confusing.
Yeah, right. The speed limit just like randomly changes to kilometers.
Yeah.
Sorry, so. I stopped you going 110. Well, so it said the speed limit was, yes, that's kilometers, not miles per hour.
Oh
boy. All right. So are we ready to get into Portable Door?
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
I think you guys should be able to hear it.
Knock.
Okay, so let's see if this works. Okay, a little loud.
When it came to me one day in Jacksonville, Maine, I was right on the edge.
This is nasty
sounding.
Pictures of Home.
Yeah.
Situation.
A very classic sound that, on that little riff in the opening.
Yeah.
The winner takes all and runs off with the ball, and nothing could pleasure me more. Time's wild, I've spoken my piece. For a minute or two held the floor. But I can't get a word in, so here I am hurtling right up through my portable door.
We'll be right back.
wasn't prepared for the shock. Once round my neck and twice round the deck, and the rest disappeared off the block. So here we are, and everything's changed faster than ever before. You gotta be joking, man. What are you smoking? Blow it out through my portable door.
Wow. All right.
Good stuff.
That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, pretty heavy. Like that riff. It kind of it reminds me of something Richie like at the beginning, and then that like transition into the guitar solo sounds very Steve Morrissey. So
that's Steve Morse vibe to it.
I'm so glad you said that, Nate, because I was going to ask, and I'm not trying to stir the pot by asking this question because I know that this comparison is going to be made all over the place, but was he influenced by Richie? Because those trills, they're very, very reminiscent. And that was the first thing my mind went to, was that Richie's back.
I think everybody is influenced by Richie to some degree when you're playing guitar, but I know that Simon's main influence was Gary Moore.
Oh, okay.
And that's really who he idolized and probably listened to the most. And I do hear it in his playing, the Gary Moore stuff. So the only negative I will say about, I'll start with the negative because there was so much positive, is I was kind of hoping it would go even further away from what they had been sounding like. This sounds like it could have come right off the last album, been right at home at it. There are definitely some differences. I like Simon soloing on it. Not a lot of the fast runs, more of the, the single note stuff or the, couple of note things.
Mm.
But it sounds like it could easily been on Whoosh. And I was sort of hoping they would just kind of take a left turn like they did on Perpendicular and just go a whole different direction. But I'm not upset that they didn't. I get it. They spent the last three albums kind of building up this new direction, and people seem to really be enjoying it with Ezrin. So I get it. I just personally would have liked another left-hand turn because that's one of the things I love at Deep Purple, is always changing, always evolving, but certainly a great song. Love the nod to Pictures of Home. That's all I could think of on that first riff, the boo doo 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 doo. Maybe they'll make it a medley. Love medleys. And then at the end there, that when it really just started grooving on just the guitar and the keyboards, just had that real bassy, gritty ding 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 ding. I really like that too.
Yeah,
I hear it again. Oh, and I like the cover. That's a cool cover.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. All the artwork. That's, it looks like the cover is going to be like just the Beatles White Album with Deep Purple equals one, but there's also all these alternate things in the package that look like these. I don't know. It looks like this weird cylinder with planets floating in it and all this kinds of crazy stuff. It looks cool. But I feel part of me wonders if the sound of Purple over the last 20 years had 20 plus years had a little bit more to do with Don Airey than I might have thought, because of what you said, which is it seemed to like it would have fit in well on the last album. And, Simon McBride didn't come in and just completely throw that on its side. He's just adding to it. But again, this is just one song too. So who knows? It's a short song. It's like a little over 3.5 minutes. So it's something that they could potentially get radio play with. There might be longer
guitar
songs.
Solo and a keyboard solo in.
They fit them both in and it sounded great.
Yep, loved it.
Keeping true to that a formula as much as they have one of trading things off. And love Roger's bass tone is just like crazy. Even on this recording, I'm sure it's going to sound even better on the final release, but yeah, really good stuff.
Did you guys notice the difference in the rhythm though when it changed from the guitar solo to the keyboard solo, and you've got the keyboard playing rhythm covering the guitar, and then when it switched to the guitar playing rhythm, the song felt completely different?
Yes. And I actually really liked what the guitar was doing too.
Yeah, me too. I like the tone. He's getting a really good tone for this song at least. And who doesn't love storytelling, Gillan?
Yeah, and I like how they've just settled into this world where they just write songs that fit Gillan's vocals so well. And this is another example of him being able to sing the song really, really well. And it sounds really good. I'm very excited, like what from Rich was saying earlier about the new album. And much like Rich saying, I'm kind of hoping that they do go in a little bit more of a different direction. Because I do like all the different eras of Purple. But
Nate, do you have the track list for the album available by chance? I'm curious where this falls on the album, because this could be a good opener, like a Time for Bedlam type opener.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. I'll pull it up. Talk amongst yourselves.
What did you think, John? You've been pretty quiet.
Yeah, I've just been taking it all in. Definitely sounds like they didn't do anything too crazy, like not going too outside the box, but it's definitely heavy, so it doesn't disappoint. Mm-hmm. In that area. I definitely think that, you know, Simon added to that, because he has in the live shows, as we talked about, is like he's really added like a new dimension of heaviness to some of their, you know, classic songs. But aside from that, I noticed Roger's bass was very prominent, made me happy. Solo was great. Gillan sounded like Gillan, but he didn't sound bad. He sounds different, like slightly different, because I know he's getting older. So he sounds like, I guess for lack of a better word, his voice is sounding like a little more mature, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it's always sounded the same. And as he's gotten older, it hasn't like gotten like really gritty or husky or whatever. So I don't really know what adjective to use. But you can tell that he's getting older. But that's not a slight on him. It's just that's how his voice is.
Well, like, we also just spent the last hour and a half listening to 1989 Gillan. So
that is true.
We're definitely going to hear the difference.
Yeah, but I mean, that being said, he sounds good, but it's like, you know, I think that they are in a good place with their, you know, what they're doing with their songwriting, as is that they're not going outside the box like some bands try to do and be like, well, we got to still fit this mold from years ago and let's do things that these musicians can't, like, you know, back it up with.
Money and scream.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you think it's the enunciation that you're hearing more than the tonal quality of his voice?
No,
I think when he speaks, his S's are a little bit different than they used to be. And I mean, that's, you know, that's just progression of age. But I wonder how much of that might
dentures.
Come out.
It's dentures. Is it? That's my guess. I mean, it could be. I noticed that there was a couple albums ago. I noticed a very like.
He's got, well, he's got like the Sean Connery kind of thing going a little bit.
It was catching a little bit. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's it, but that's what it struck me as. Mm. I noticed it less on the last album, but there was a couple songs on one of the albums. I'm like, man, I really hearing it. It was actually bothering me a little bit.
Wow.
Well, so to answer your earlier question, this is the fourth track on the album.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
It'd be interesting to see what other singles they release.
Do we know where they recorded this one? Because it wasn't in Nashville.
Wasn't it
where
in Canada? Wasn't it in like Toronto or something?
I think it was Canada, because that's Ezrin's. That's where he lives.
Yeah.
Well, it's also where his studio is now. I don't think he has the one in Nashville anymore.
And having
that's gone.
Interestingly, I was just in Nashville and Toronto in the last month, and the studio in Nashville closed down, the one that they were using.
Yeah.
Which is unusual, but. I don't know. I might have been near their studio in Toronto for all I know. But yeah, I am excited about this release. I paid the extra shipping to have it delivered on release day. So we'll see if that actually pays off, because it did not for Machine Head.
Dibs on the extra copy.
Yeah. Rich is going to sit there just collecting all the extra copies, I guess.
What is the actual release date?
July 19th.
Good God, I can't wait that long.
I remember as a kid or a teenager waiting for something, you'd just be like, I can't wait that long. And now I'm like, oh shit, it's the 19th already. Just flies by.
I know what's going to happen. I'll not get the album on time, or I'll fear that I won't get it on time. And then I'll pay to download it on iTunes or whatever, so I can do a review episode, and then it'll get here the next day.
My Machine Head came in the next day. It just didn't come in on the day that I had planned on actually listening to it. And I only had one day where I could actually listen to it before the episode. So
yeah.
Isn't that the way? But yeah, I'm excited.
Really, I think excited. It's a good song. I really like the gritty sound of that, the rhythm in the background in that one section. And then Ian's drums sound really good too. They're a little quiet, I think, in the mix. So I wonder if this is just kind of like a quick mix for the single or what. But overall, I thought it sounded pretty good.
Yeah, excellent sound. I mean, Ezra knows what he's doing.
He has done this before.
He's no slouch.
Yeah, but they've got such a great sound the last, they've always sounded good, but the Ezra albums in particular have sounded particularly good. But, all right. Anything else? Do we cover it all?
Let's hear the rest of the album.
Yeah. All right,
we don't have it.
That I would have to do something pretty illegal. I broke into the studio.
Will say Amazon is still showing it as currently unavailable. So I think you can pre-order it from Amazon, but they're saying they don't know anything about it. It's just on their site.
I think you can pre-order the CD itself, but like some of those package deals are they're saying, oh, they're not available. But I know they're limited. So it's one of those things where if they don't sell through all of them on their main site, maybe it goes to Amazon. I don't know. But I did pre-order just the regular CD DVD from them because they've got like a little documentary coming along with it. So we'll see which one gets here first.
The deluxe box set.
I did go with the deluxe box set from the whatever site they're selling it from.
Oh, okay.
From their site. And then I just ordered the CD DVD from Amazon as like a backup.
Oh, gotcha. So that'll be on eBay.
How much is the deluxe box set?
I want to say it's like
pounds, I think.
It was like $79, but like the shipping was insane. It was like $34 shipping. Yeah, it's crazy. But from Amazon, the CD DVD combo was like $20. Wasn't too bad.
Some of our European friends that are coming over some of the shows put some in their suitcase for them.
You stack about 10 or 15 of them in your suitcase.
I just bought an album from Canada, vinyl, and the album was $25 and the shipping was $25.
Ugh, it feels awful.
Like, it's crazy.
Sadly, it's becoming prohibitive.
Yes.
I have a couple hobbies where, you do a lot of mail and trading kind of thing, and the post is just kind of killing it off.
It's getting to the point where it's cheaper to just go there and exchange it than it is to send anything now.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, great song though. I think this is any fears that anyone had about how this was going to sound with a new guitarist or how it was going to work. And I mean, granted, it's only one song. We don't know how well it represents the album on the whole, but I will say if anybody's concerned about how Simon's fitting in with the band from a writing standpoint, you should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if history is any marker, Deep Purple's never been rocket scientists when it comes to picking their singles. So
that's
true.
Well, all the negative Nellies who are usually like, I'm no Blackmore, blah, blah, blah. Like even they are, for the most part, I'm not seeing any negativity around Simon. Everyone seems like really excited that he's in the band. So it should be interesting. I'm sure there'll be plenty of negativity after it comes out about all the things they should have done. Oh, they should get Blackmore back. That's what.
Did you guys see that article that was released from Steve Morse about him saying that there's no more challenges in Deep Purple?
I saw that it came out and that people were kind of talking about it. And I was like, I didn't read it though.
It was click. It was typical clickbait.
Yeah.
It was taken out of context. He's basically, it was very hard to see whether he meant, and what I think he meant was that Deep Purple's done everything
right
that they can do as a band, and it's not like they should wrap it up. It was more just like, they can do what they want because they have done it all, so they can do what they want.
They made it sound like what he said was like, well, anybody can replace Blackmore, but nobody can replace me. I was like, I don't think that's what he said.
He didn't even come close to saying that.
I don't think that would ever even pop into his head. That's just not him. But it was a lot about, you know, it's not a challenge because everything's so well laid out now. He doesn't have to rush to get to a pedal to change a setting. It's very comfortable. They know what they're doing. They've got a good show live. And I get that, especially now that he's back with the dregs. I imagine it's a whole different set of challenges. And then you can look at, oh, you know what? I didn't realize 30 years in Deep Purple, I got pretty comfortable as far as, you know, the stage show and the process of it all. I could totally see that because you won't know it necessarily until you're away from it. And then you have something else that challenges you to kind of understand where you were at. I definitely don't think there was anything derogatory or, when it's read in context.
But, and that's when I read that, I was just like, I don't even want to read the rest of this because this clickbait headline, it probably wasn't even them that wrote it. It was some other stupid site that wrote that particular part, but I just didn't even want to, I was like, whatever. I'm sure he didn't say that or anything like that.
No, it never is. It's frustrating, but I'm not going to lie. They get me from time to time. They got me on that one.
I think there is something to be said, though, that there is not the same kind of spontaneity that they had in the 70s, where they would say it's dangerous to be on a Deep Purple stage. I don't think they would say that now, because I think that they have a pretty tuned in show. You know, they might extend, they might do some jams, but it's not like it was in the 70s where you just never knew how long a song was going to go or, you know, what was going to happen. I think it's pretty tame now as far as that goes, but it's still a brilliant show.
Yeah, and the fire regulations are a lot more strict these days.
Cameras are a lot more expensive.
Yeah. Imagine Richie trying to blow up his amps and he can't get out of the way in time.
I'd settle for him kicking a cell phone out of somebody's hand.
Without injuring himself.
We know that, very cool.
All right, yeah, well, thanks for jumping on a very, very impromptu bonus episode here, but I appreciate you having
such an incredible idea to do it.
Yeah, thank you for thinking of me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Rich has been pushing for this for the past few days. But when I heard midnight, I was like, oh, I don't know. And I have to be up at 5 for work tomorrow. So luckily, since we're in Australia, I've got the day off of work tomorrow. So
that's right.
All right. Well, I got to get back to the I guess it's fall now in Australia. So we're going pumpkin picking right after this. So, right.
Okay. I'm going to go tie me down a kangaroo.
I'm going to go fight a joey. All right. Thanks, guys.
See you.
All right. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Deep Purple Podcast. If you like what you hear and would like more episodes in the future, please donate on Patreon to support the show. You can also leave us a review in Apple Podcasts to help new people discover the show. You can follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for show updates. See deeppurplepodcast.com for more details. Thank you for listening.
Oh, it'd be so, that would be terrible.
Let's space truck again like we did last time.